Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be James Williams of Mayweather Boxing and Fitness. This episode is brought to you by Social Joey, FranSuite, and Franchise Expo Nashville, the big franchise show coming to Nashville March 20th and 21st at Music City Center. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the country will attend Franchise Expo Nashville looking for franchise opportunities. So if you're a franchisor, there's still room to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. Check it out now at franchiseexponashville.com. Okay, today on the Franchise Spotlight, we're chatting with James Williams. He's the CEO of Mayweather Boxing and Fitness, and he joins us right now on Social Geek. Welcome, James.
Thanks, Jack. How you doing?
Doing great. Looking forward to learning lots about Mayweather Boxing and Fitness. But before we get there, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story, James?
Sure. I started my professional life as a corporate lawyer in London and New York, working for a company called Clifford Chance, a big global law firm. After a couple of years in that world, I left and worked for Bain & Company, a management consulting firm in London, spent some time in South Africa and Paris, and then came out to LA in 2007 with Bain. And then while I was at Bain, they sponsored me for my MBA at Wharton Business School over on the East Coast in Philly at the University of Pennsylvania. And I came back from Philadelphia to LA and spent a couple more years at Bain, where we were working for Fortune 100 companies, helping them develop business plans and strategies and build more profitable enterprises. And I had a number of friends who were in the sports and entertainment world here in LA who would often come to me and talk on an informal basis about business endeavors and activities that they wanted to do. So I left Bain and started my own venture and consulting firm, working with athletes and entertainers to build out businesses with and for them in the same way that we had done at Bain for Fortune 100 companies. So I spent a number of years working really with three main athletes and entertainers. Beyonce, I spent about 4 years with, working with her and her management and entertainment company, Parkwood Entertainment. I worked with a couple of athletes, Laird Hamilton and Gabby Reese, big wave surfer and professional volleyball player, sure, building out a few businesses with them. And then for a number of years, 6 or 7 plus years, I've been working with Floyd on a variety of endeavors and investments and businesses. And that's where we really got moving and started with Mayweather Boxing and Fitness many years ago.
So you're working with Floyd Mayweather on lots of different ventures. And somewhere along the line, there had to be a spark of let's start this boxing and fitness franchise. What really led to that? What was the spark that got that going?
Yeah. So Floyd's really quite unique for a top tier athlete in that he'd never taken a major licensing, sponsorship, or endorsement deal. For Floyd, he's an incredibly shrewd businessman, and he wanted to maintain the brand equity in the Mayweather name to create something that he was the founder of and the owner of, and that he was super passionate about once he retired from the sport of boxing. So we were sitting around and talking about what that venture would be and how we would build it. And having had a little bit of experience in athlete and entertainer deals, for me, there were two things that really drive success. And one of those is authenticity to the person, and the other is the operating team behind the business. Consumers can really kind of suss out if a celebrity is looking just to make a quick buck and it's not really something that they're passionate about and involved with. That's the authenticity piece. And obviously for Floyd, there's nothing that's more authentic to him than boxing and fitness. And so that's what got us down the path, started down the path of this business. So we started looking into the industry, and at a macroeconomic level, it was super, super exciting, super attractive. Fitness industry is growing at around 5% a year. And the fastest growing category by far is the group fitness segment.
Yeah.
And within that, boxing group fitness is a thriving category. So we're hitting the market at exactly the right point. Combining that with the fact that boxing is probably the sport that's most conducive to a group fitness modality. And obviously Floyd being the most successful boxer of all time, and the top name in boxing today, kind of made everything align perfectly. So then for us, it's the second part of that equation, which is the operating team. And I had friends from business school who had who were working in fitness and working for a private equity firm that owned a number of different fitness clubs. So we all got together and started putting together what we believe is the best team in the industry in terms of fitness franchising. We recruited people who had been multi-unit franchisees. So they sat in the seats that our current franchisees sit in, and people who have been senior executives at other fitness franchises, and spent a couple of years really getting that team recruited and put together. Luckily, it was relatively easy having a combination of the connections in the industry together with the Mayweather brand, which people were super excited to be a part of, and started recruiting the team. And then developing the programming. We spent a couple of years together with Floyd and our group fitness experts, really taking everything that Floyd had developed and created during his 21 years at the top of the sport of boxing, and then adapting that and modifying it from an elite-level athlete's workout to a workout that would be effective and enjoyable and fun for the general fitness consumer.
It's a very rare combination where you've got this incredible brand of Floyd Mayweather that, as you said, had not done a lot of, or in his case, any endorsement deals over the past couple of decades that would really sort of, muddy the brand down. And so he's got this almost pure brand that you guys could go in any direction. And at the same time, his space in the world just suddenly gets very hot with fitness and boxing, and especially in franchising. So you guys really hit kind of a perfect time. It's almost like a perfect storm for this brand to come out.
Yeah, it really was and really is. I think you hit the nail on the head, combining kind of everything that Floyd had skillfully done to position himself and his brand for a significant business venture, combined with hitting the market at the right time. And for us, the first time we really tested how the Mayweather brand would be received to a fitness consumer was when we opened our flagship gym here in LA in January of 2018. And we just blew through all of our targets. Membership sales were crazy. We hit profitability incredibly early, far sooner than we'd ever thought. And so that's when we knew that Floyd's brand would resonate with the fitness market from a member perspective. And then in July of 2018 was the first time we really tested that with the business community, the franchise community. And that was when Floyd announced that we would be franchising the business through two Instagram posts. And we got about 6,000 applications for franchises just off of those two posts, which again blew through all of our already high and aggressive targets. And we just saw that individual investors, sophisticated multi-unit operators of other franchise brands, as well as private equity firms, all had an interest in the franchise and all understood the value proposition of both the attractiveness of the segment of the market combined with Floyd's brand and that brand awareness that was already so strong.
And I think that brand awareness being strong is really what kind of lifts it up, because as you said in the opening of the show, it's such a hot space right now, which is great, but it also means that there are literally thousands of brands out there trying to grab every consumer. So having something that's really quite unique is definitely helping you. Tell me how that expansion is going, though. Where are you now, and where do you hope to be, let's say, by the end of 2020 and maybe into the following year?
Yeah. So that those first 6 months of 2018, we awarded, I think, 24, 25 franchises. So super fast growth initially from some really great individual franchisees. They're all single unit operators, experienced entrepreneurs, some corporate executives looking to diversify. Mm-hmm. And then it all changed a little bit in the start of 2019. And as we started kind of talking about that growth with the press and the media, we started getting interest from those groups I mentioned briefly, multi-unit operators.
Multi-unit guys, yeah.
Yeah, and private equity firms. And we started doing some really big deals where private equity firms understood and multi-unit operators understood the economics of a platform level deal where they would take 5, 10, 20 plus units and build out the territory. And the economics on selling those a few years down the line. And what we had that was really unique was the model, obviously, and the brand and the brand awareness and the team behind it, combined with the fact that we had these wide open territories. They could come in and buy a tier one territory and own it and take the whole thing. Typically, it takes many years for a franchise brand to establish itself as a credible brand. And by that time, a lot of the tier one territories have been taken up and it's harder to get in. So that's what we saw happening, and it catapulted us and our growth. We now have over 130 franchises in development through various development deals, together in franchise deals. And we're opening studios every few weeks. I just came back from St. Petersburg, Florida yesterday. We opened our location there on Saturday. The franchisee has his second location opening 2 months after that in Largo, Florida. And so we're anticipating having 50 locations open at the end of this year, with a pipeline of another 200 on top of that.
Wow.
And then, you know, continue that growth even faster through 2021. So the demand is there. Landlords are super excited to have us, in their real estate, because obviously, again, it's a marquee brand and they know the impact that'll have on the center. And all of that just helps drive that growth in a really, really good way.
That's amazing growth for you. Started franchising less than 2 years ago, and to have numbers like that is really quite impressive. So let's talk a little bit about the fitness industry in general. We talked about how hot it was. What are some things that fitness brands are doing right, and maybe some things that some other brands are doing wrong when it comes to serving that consumer and really beating out the competition lately?
Yeah. I think that at the macro level of fitness, obviously there's this trend towards group fitness. So the big box studios are looking to deal with that. When I talk big box, LA Fitness, 20, 30, 40,000 square foot locations. So they're starting and have been for a while to put group fitness studios within their locations to try to keep the members. You have other companies like Equinox, which is owned by the related companies, which bought SoulCycle. So they kind of have that big box and spin next to each other. That's kind of a real estate play, and then invested in a boxing group fitness company, Rumble, to kind of add that to the offering for the real estate location. For us, as we think about group fitness, we kind of categorize the success of a group fitness studio into two buckets. One is member acquisition, and one is member retention. How quickly can you grow your member base, and how long can you keep them for? Our big advantage on the member acquisition side is obviously the brand strength. Floyd's brand awareness in the United States is around 70%. So 70% of the population knows who he is. That's an extremely high number, especially compared
to
other fitness companies. Yeah, which is a huge advantage for our franchisees. You know, the biggest form of marketing for group fitness studios is digital advertising, Google, Facebook, Instagram. So as when you see an ad for Mayweather and you see an ad for the various other group fitness or other gyms out there, you're just multiple times more likely to be aware of Floyd and Mayweather. Sure. And that just translates directly into a lower cost per click, lower cost per lead, and lower cost to acquire members. So that's a really big part of it, and that helps us grow our franchisee member bases much, much faster. And then on the member retention side, it, in my view, it's all about community. You know, you got to have a fantastic workout, of course. Your members have got to be able to understand it, enjoy it, and get great results from it. But I think the thing that really drives people to stay year, 18 months, 2 years, at the same group fitness studio is the community that they feel that they're a part of, and that they feel that they're valued by the staff. The staff knows their name, they know their goals, they know what they're looking to get out of the workout. They have events inside and outside of the studio that they go out for drinks or to watch a game or to have a hike with other members from the studio. That's what really drives long-term member retention at group fitness studios. And that's a big part of the training and the ongoing support that we provide to franchisor, is that those member retention and member engagement initiatives to ensure that we're not just getting members in the door, we're giving them a great experience and we're keeping them for longer.
And I love that you're doing so much in social media. Obviously here on Social Geek Radio, that's sort of our number one way of marketing any franchise and brands across the country. But you're not only acquiring new members and franchisees through the use of social media, but you're doing so much in building that community and those people connecting and really sort of building a tribe through social media and staying in touch that way. I think that's awesome for member retention for any brand.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. It's making people feel involved and feel part of it, a part of something. I think that's true with any kind of group fitness studio right now. People want to feel part of something. They want to feel part of a community. They want to feel connected. They want to feel somewhere where they belong. It's a real advantage for us, because it's just being part of Team Mayweather is inherently cool.
You know, exactly. It's something that they want to share, that identity with their friends and connections on social.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I would never talk about our competitors, but whatever their names are, they have great clothing. They put them on their merch. For us, you know, we have our members with Mayweather Boxing and Fitness on the front, and it says Team Mayweather on the back. So you're kind of inviting them to be part of that legacy, and it's something that they really find special, which is a really cool thing.
That's very cool for your members. James, before we go, any advice for CEOs or founders of relatively new franchisor companies that maybe haven't had the growth quite yet that Mayweather has experienced? Anything you want to share with those folks to maybe help raise them up a bit as well?
Yeah, for me, the single biggest thing to focus on as a CEO is the support of the franchisees. Mm-hmm. You can grow as fast as you like or as steady as you like, but if you're not supporting your franchisees in the right way and looking out for their long-term success, then you're going to have problems either now or further down the line. For us, we have this term of over-support. You know, we have a lot more employees now than some other fitness franchises have had when they've had 100 locations open. But for us, that's about creating that foundation, that platform, so that our first franchisees who are opening their doors succeed and thrive. And then they become the spokesperson for your new franchisees coming in. So that'll drive that ongoing growth. But it'll just set you up for success in the long term. In my view, I've heard too many horror stories of franchisors not providing support. They sign them up, they get them open, and then they kind of leave their franchisees to get on with it.
Yeah.
For us, we're not building corporate stores. We have our one flagship location, which is our template and our model for creating programming and showcasing to potential franchisees and for creating marketing out of. But other than that, our economics are aligned with our franchisees. So we want them to grow and sustain that growth. And so I think that any franchisor, they have a relentless focus on support of their franchisees. It's the best possible foundation you can have for the overall success of the entire platform.
I love that idea of really being franchisors and building that network and building the system and not focusing, like a lot of brands do, on being operators. And you know,
right.
you are dependent upon your franchisees succeeding. And that's really going all in.
That's it. And I think that it's a different skill set. You're almost running two businesses if you're operating your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, locations and looking to support a franchisee network, but having the same team do both things. I don't feel that you can do both to the extent that you could do one if you just focused on that one.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. We call it the Fred DeLuca of Subway rule here, where you're either
right.
great operators or you're great franchisors,
right.
and you guys
are
doing it right. Love it.
Yep.
James will be right back with some contact information in just a moment. But first, today's show is brought to you by FranSuite. FranSuite is a cloud-based digital marketing platform designed to help a franchise grow. FranSuite empowers a franchisor to enable franchise success and say goodbye to digital ads launched by franchisees that don't live up to brand standards. You can launch brand-approved creative on Instagram, Facebook, and Google search in just a few clicks and control how the brand is being used. You'll collaborate and communicate across your entire system like never before, with visibility into real-time performance, plus increased awareness with local customers, which means more traffic and more sales. If your franchise uses an agency to launch local ads but struggles to get access to real-time performance data, then FranSuite is also for you. See it in action at fransuite.com. That's FranSuite.com. James Williams of Mayweather, thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you back and see how much more growth you guys have achieved over the next year or so. In the meantime, if our listeners have some questions and they want to learn a little bit more about Mayweather Boxing and Fitness, where can we send them?
Yeah, great. They can come to our website, mayweather.fit. And then if they want to see the franchise page, mayweather.fit/franchise. Or they can send an email to franchise@mayweather.fit, and we'll have one of our development guys reach out.
Excellent. We will have links to all of those things right here on socialgeekradio.com. James, thanks so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.